Thank you for joining us this afternoon. The Lord bless you, everyone, in a wonderful way. Brother Freedom has some revelation he's going to be giving you about things happening in the earth. Lord, we thank you for this good day. We thank you for helping us to do your will, Lord. Thank you for bringing us into subjection. We submit to you, Lord. We submit to you that you are Lord and King and you're the boss of everything. We thank you for touching Brother Freedom in a wonderful way, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Bless those listeners and help them, Father, to receive, because we all need your touch. Jesus' name, amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, we just praise you. We thank you that you're real. And I want this to be a monument for you this day, not for me. But I believe it's going to testify to things that you're real, of your faithfulness. And I'm going to just do my best to start. But I believe it's very powerful and very directed by you. And we praise you for this day. We pray for your people. We pray that my voice will be correct this day. And I pray that I'll do thy will. Bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Mike, would you read the 24th chapter of Matthew and then read Isaiah 10:27.
This is Matthew 24, starting in verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house.
I'll go read it through, and I want you to read it twice.
Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. It says, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither in the Sabbath day.
Let's just read that again.
Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes.
So it's putting a priority right there of when this day, that's going to be the first thing in your mind. And that's when I get one of all of ours, the people of the world. My concern in all of us is we're going to be ready, because that's what it's talking about. And Jesus spoke this. It isn't some prophet. Jesus spoke this himself. He told the disciples in the last words he spoke. I feel the Spirit of God here in a powerful way. He goes on down about earthquakes. And I did a little study on earthquakes. I think we should get some background for what this message is. And earthquakes, actually the time of Jesus till about, there was just one, maybe they claim all the, where they keep records of these things, and there was none, basically, once in a while. In about the 16th century, there started to be a little closer, but they're getting up an earthquake today, this year, and then maybe 10 years now. I mean, that was dark ages, wasn't really anything. So Jesus was speaking specifically to the hour that we're in. Now, we're seeing in the 1800s, how the earthquakes really started getting bigger. But the graph is, right now, the 1900s, it just goes up gigantically. And from now, it goes up beyond that. So something should tell us that something's in God's plan. Jesus wouldn't have talked all about that if there wasn't something to it. I mean, we can talk about the rain. Rain's a great thing. I mean, weather in El Paso, Texas. I've been through El Paso a lot of time. It's real dry. No rain. It's flooded now. Things are not where they were. The weather has changed. Something's caused it to change. And the Bible says, when you see these things come to pass, it's a sign that my coming is soon. But man don't see that. See, we're to put first things first. Jesus is on the horizon. All these last few years, when you went to church, Jesus wasn't the subject. But now he's coming. We're to give him first priority, first attention. Because that's what it's all about, is Jesus anyway. So that's how many are going to be missing, because if your priority is not on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible plainly says, you'll miss. See, they think they're all right, but your priority has got to be on the Lord. And that's the catch that some people don't see. They don't see how tremendous that God's doing in mighty work. Mike, I'd like you to read that Isaiah 10:27 again.
And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing.
Thank you. That anointing in 1900s, or in the late 1800s in this nation, God started moving. As in the street, many places, it was through the Spirit of God. Now people didn't understand it, and they still don't understand it, but it was God. God brought signs and wonders. And God had a great move from heaven till around the 1950s. Now, I remember the 50s, how God moved mightily. You go to a church service and God just come down wave after wave. And you couldn't leave there. His power was there such a... It was love. It wasn't... You weren't scared of it. It's glorious. You see him touch people and how that God, the little children would be received. Three little girls couldn't never heard in their life. How that God healed them immediately, and how they sang, Jesus, love me. See, God brought revival. And people, I've heard it over and over and over, we need revival. No, we need to all get revived. Revival starts in our hearts. We need to have all an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is live, real, and we're looking totally to him. And this is a way to get everything back in focus, because all these years, there was no focus on any holy living. The Bible says without holiness, no man shall see or please God. And the Bible says in Hebrews, take heed to things we've heard, lest any time we should let them slip. Letting them slip means that you've lost it. Now, I've worked on construction, and when something slips, it's bad. I've seen great mountainsides slip, and they have to get up there and remove all because of the weight. When we start having our senses with God, not being where we should be, we need to keep it in alignment with God, lest we let God's power slip within us. Now, God's power, most people are not familiar with it, but it helps you, it restores you. I'm telling you this, everything I'm saying is no lie, it's truth. It let me live a life as a Caterpillar mechanic for so many years, that God, where I was at work, they didn't dispatch me. Can you imagine? God sent me out himself. This is years. Wasn't one day. Day after day after day after day. People don't believe me, but that's true. And it was so easy. Before that, I had troubles every day in my life. I was struggling as a Christian. When I finally went God's way, it was so easy. Because he knew where I was supposed to be. When I got there, he let me know what was wrong. He loves us as kids. What we've done, we've made our kids that they're retarded. Because it's such a wonderful blessing, we should have shared it with all of our people. And we have it. Because if we wanted to keep our people under our umbrella because of a church, we didn't want to give up because they're our livelihood. That's the truth. They're our business. Church is the biggest business in the world. We need to honor God at all times. And the Lord says, I've called you to come against the things of the church world. That you not tell people that I'm real. I've lived in it. A lot of people don't like me. I'm sad for it. But I've seen great things. I've seen God just move mightily. And he doesn't change. He can do that for me. He can do it for you. He can do it for everybody. But we've taught bug off on the things of God. They're not for us, but they are for us. I just was brave enough to seek God for 8 years to pray that my life would be changed. I felt I was a castaway. I thought I was getting nowhere in church. And I believe I was. Because what a change came. It was like day and night. It's real. And the anointing from that anointing breaks the yoke. It breaks the powers of darkness. It breaks the spirit that has us infected with the things of this world. Well, I give all the time, how can you walk, have perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in me? How can you do it? It's through the Spirit. Now, I know people can't stay in that place, but that's why you need the Spirit. And the people have, the guardians have been such a regimental against the people, they would never let people, you know, no, you can't go out there. I've pursued. I know that God's real. If I die this second, I know He's real. I know He's done great. He's done everything that's been done in the Bible. Now, I'm not being boastful, but He has. Broke a tap off in a block. And that tap was down inside of an engine. And God spoke to my heart and says, trust me, I'll get you out of trouble. I said, Lord, it's too big for me. I'm going to mess up. The Lord says, I know you are. But trust me, you must take this first step of faith. I remember that 30-some years ago, as I cranked up my Lincoln welder and went down that hole, he told me what to do, what socket to get, drive it down in there, take a hammer and drive it down on that broken tap, and it's only got about a 3/8 hole. That's not much to work with a low hydrogen rod because it goes everywhere. But God was in it. As I went down that hole, the Lord said, that's enough. It just breaks my heart because God was with me in that. And in that, He's going to be with you right now, what I'm saying, because He's interested in people. What He's interested in is getting you ready for heaven, because Jesus is coming in soon. That's why I am the way I am, because God said I was too strong in myself. He wanted me to have to submit totally to Him. It's very difficult for me now. I don't have it very easy. But it's going to be worth it if some soul will be saved. It's the power of the Spirit. Everything that I've done, and that's what as a pastor, I just spoke to him here, he can't understand that. But it's through the power of the Spirit that let these things happen. And I'd be blaspheming if I went to him any other way and said, no, I did it. No, I can't say that. I've sinned against God. Because it's God that did it. But see, people can't accept that. They can't receive it. Because can't receive it in your mind. It all has to be thought by the Spirit. Going back to those days of the Brush Harbor days, and like my wife, she had that broken neck. Pastor never knew that she was in a car wreck. That Sunday morning, he prayed for her. God healed her instantly. I could tell you miracles after miracles. My mother-in-law went down to East Texas with me, and I lost the generator in the 55 Chevrolet. And I knew that it didn't have enough electricity to get them back on in Longview, Texas. And my mother-in-law says, let's take your hands. Take your hands. God's going to do it. I didn't see him. No, they took off. 120 miles, they had to drive in the dark. Wayne was a little baby. A week later, that battery is still charged. God does miracles. And I'm not lying a bit. I'm going to close today because it's enough for me today. But God loves you. You need to accept the fact that God is able to do a supernatural thing with you that you can't understand. You must believe and say, I accept. I proceed because I want to be in eternity with you forever. There's going to be a great vast of people that's going to miss. Lord, let me go up in the rapture in my mind. And I've seen very few made it. And people think I'm haughty. I'm headstrong. I want all these things because I'm telling what was the truth. Because they were not looking for His coming. Because Apostle Paul said he's coming for those who's looking for his coming. And Apostle Paul knew what he's talking about. And Jesus said too, we gotta be looking for his coming. It's like if someone's coming by and we're coming for that spent, we gotta be there to receive it. And to receive it this day, we need to have a special encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it was so wonderful. I was so happy. For 3 weeks, I never had what I was went through. It's the wonderful experience you'll ever have. You'll bless God. I stayed because I didn't want the full thing. A lot of people, I guess, are content with a little thing, but God let me receive what he wanted. And I'll tell you, it's real. His power is real. I've seen God touch people. I've seen heal the dead. I've seen great things happen. I've seen him go in the hospital room and heal the person. I knew because it is God. It's not me. God's real. Pray that God will bless you. We'll continue this later. God bless you all. And I pray that God will bless you. But we need to keep our eyes upon the one that can help us. Those of you who don't know about you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. You'll have to be looking for that coming. God wants you to be looking for that coming because that is the next thing. It's not pie in the sky. It's not some new Sunday school room, not a new church building. No, they're in their time. God used them. But now it's Jesus. He's coming back. His signs are clear. Everything is directed toward his coming because he's got his wonderful trophies for those that love him. We're going to live in heaven forever. We're going to come back and rise with him and do battle, the battle of Armageddon. So we got a great battle, a great way, and we're more than conquerors through Jesus, which loves us. We're going to be victorious through him. Praise God forevermore. God bless you all. Amen.